Hey everyone, and welcome to an all new episode of All About Sports, the podcast. Now we're bringing to you another basketball special. Previously, we discussed the NBA's most overrated players currently that we believe have a higher stake or value than they actually deserve. And we also discussed the free agency, which was a short-lived sort of free agency, which is still ongoing, mind you. And there are some big question marks on that. James Harden being the biggest, everyone's expecting him to switch to Philly. But today, considering that the season's just about to kick off and, well, the preseason games are done, we're going to be discussing the NBA season, which is, again, a shortened season. It's only 72 games this time. So we're going to be deep diving into that. So I have Rishabh with me and I'm Mazhar. Sure as hell, it's going to be a fun discussion. Lots of questions, lots of excitement. Preseason has been really exciting. Some of the games have been brilliant. The quality of basketball is seemingly much higher because they've had less of a break coming in from the bubble. And now, so pretty excited. So let's jump into it. Just before that, I wanted to give a shout out to our friends, the A1 All-Stars. That's an e-racing team in Formula One, especially J. Cole. They just have conducted a 24-hour F1 session with 21 races in order to raise charity money for the young people mental health cause. So shout out to them. They're doing some great stuff. They've already raised over £1,000 and hoping to raise much more as a few more hours go into it. It's still ongoing, will be done by the end of tonight or tomorrow morning. Now let's get into it. So Krishnan, firstly, how excited are you that the NBA season's back so soon? No one expected it to be kicking off in December itself, but well, here we are. And what are you most looking forward to?
No, dude, I didn't see this coming either. I thought a bunch of players would put their foot down and say, like, listen, we can't get ready by December, but I'm so excited that we have the NBA season coming soon. I've missed, like, there hasn't really been a summer this year for sports, which has been nice. Like, we've had sports pretty much through the year other than the big gap because of the coronavirus. But I think the thing I'm most excited for, Muzz, is something that you spoke about earlier, a 72-game season. I think a lot of us probably feel like the entire season of, like, 82 games goes on forever. So I'm actually excited that it's a little bit shortened, because I'm always excited at the beginning. There's a little bit of excitement around All-Star and then basically going into playoffs. So I think now with a little shorter season, each game means a bit more. Each game's a bit more exciting. So I'm looking forward to that, actually.
Yeah. And the other good thing that you mentioned about the 82 game season is you're so right that those last 10 games generally feel like a stretch. It's only sometimes in the Western Conference where maybe 3-4 teams are slogging it out for, let's say, seeding 7 and 8, but otherwise it's pretty much done and dusted, and then it's just about managing players' time so that they don't get injured and stuff. So
this year, everyone can make the playoffs with going up to 10. They're going to be in this playoff seeding game. Basically everyone's competing, which I'm excited. So I think fewer teams will try and tank this year, which is also an exciting thing, man. It's actually going to be fun because of that.
Yeah, which actually brings me to thinking, how will they manage their minutes, right? Now, again, fans will still not be allowed into the stadiums yet. So, I think players will be able or will have that freedom to get more minutes of rest. I think the NBA will be a bit more relaxed in terms of that, since there's no one paying for tickets. So, they don't have that claim saying that no, people pay big bucks to watch the stars play. So I think that's going to be very interesting to see. Another interesting question that I had for you, Krishnan. Of course, firstly, one question is, do you see the Lakers finishing as the first seed, considering it's only a 72 game season? Or do you think that they aren't going to care so much about notching up that first seed? I don't think home court advantage will matter that much as well. So do you see them trying to push for that first seed, or do you just see them securing a top four spot and making sure that they are ready come playoffs time?
No, that's a good point, Mash, because like you mentioned, right, the Lakers and the Miami Heat had the shortest off seasons, really, right? The least amount of time to rest up. And I mean, LeBron's made it no secret that he's not going to be coming in at full steam the first few games of the season. So I think the priority for them is, like, obviously at least at the beginning part of the season, to just ramp up and stay fit. So I don't think at that point they're going to come in all guns blazing, have to be first within the first 3 weeks or anything like that. My honest thought is by mid-season, they'll be rolling and they're honestly so good that they will be in the first or second seed. Is it a major priority for them? Probably not. I think the major priority is fitness for them. If they can keep LeBron and AD fit into the offseason, they could finish the 8th seed and I'm betting on them. Right? So I don't think that's a major priority for the Lakers in my honest opinion. The big priority is to keep LBJ and AD happy. That is the main priority.
If they finish the 8th seed, then, well, I think the Clippers might be in for one hell of a first round.
And oh, yeah.
They might not see the end of that. So, yeah, which, and I'm glad you brought up Miami, which brings me to my next question. Where do you see Denver and Miami finishing? Do you see them being as successful as they were last season? Or do you see this being just a one-off case because of the bubble? And also then, let's talk about the other team. So let's dive into the hyped Brooklyn Nets. Let's talk about, obviously, the Washington Wizards. I know you're really excited about the Wizards. So, Krishnan, take over. It's all yours.
Yeah, no. I want to start off with Denver and Miami, because I feel like they were both teams that were slept on last year. And I feel like Denver's a team that's basically slept on every year. Like, every year they finish like second or third in the West, and like for at least the last couple of years, and everyone's kind of surprised by it. And I'm gonna sleep on them this year too. Frankly, it still baffles me how good the Denver Nuggets are and how well they perform each year. And I am not betting on them finishing second or third in the Western Conference this year. And I just want to, you know, a quick reminder. I know everyone got really excited last season because they reached the NBA Finals. Let's not forget, they went 3-1 down to the Utah Jazz as well. Yes, they came back from 3-1 against the Clippers, but they also went 3-1 down to Utah in a really, really tight series. So they're a team that at their best, they're awesome, but they're consistently not at their best. So I don't predict them being an NBA finalist. And let's not forget, like, it seems like the Western Conference Finals, there is always a new team kind of coming in. We saw OKC playing the Warriors. We saw Houston playing the Warriors. They had some consistency reaching, playing against the Warriors twice. But then Portland reached the finals. This last year we saw Denver. So it seems like it's a bit of a crapshoot. Who is the second team that's going to reach the finals? I definitely don't predict Denver to be in the Western Conference finals this year. And honestly, I'm not predicting them being like a top three team in the West either of us. What do you think?
So Denver, well, I think we called that in our last in two episodes back when we discussed the overrated players, right? We spoke about how significant Jamal Murray was to the Denver Nuggets' success in the bubble. Again, if he performs at that level, he's going to be an all-star. No doubt.
Yeah.
But can he do that? I wouldn't even want to say I doubt it. I just don't think he has that level of play over a 72-game season, even for that matter. He was playing many more minutes in the bubble. Many more minutes than he would otherwise play. He's going to burn out in 25 games if he has to play 40 minutes a game going into the regular season. So, and again, like you mentioned, Krishnan, it was just one of those cases, their resilience. And well, at the end of the day, let's not forget how good Nikola Jokic was in that. He really stood out for me. Yes, he has no defensive side to his game, but offensively, I think he's just behind Giannis and AD in terms of scoring as a big man currently in the league. So that's how highly I rate him, especially after his performance. I was really amazed by his performance, but I don't think it's enough, because you need Jokic to play like that day in, day out. Firstly, the Western Conference is way too competitive. Steph is back, so the Warriors will never be pushovers, regardless of what type of a team they may be without Klay. Draymond will look I think Draymond will now be somewhat motivated considering Steph is back, so we can see him take it up a notch. And yeah, so it's going to be many people. I know some people, and I've heard a few other people talk, and they feel that it's going to be hard for Denver to even probably make the playoffs, considering the way it is. I don't see that not happening. I see Denver making the playoffs. But again, it comes down to matchups. So let's see. But yeah, finals are a far dream now for Denver, to be honest.
And that's the thing. I trust Joker, but can the other team, the other players around him kind of get it going consistently? I don't so much know. And I think it, like the other team that you mentioned was Miami, which is another team that was slept on. I actually am less optimistic about them this year as well. And this might be one where, you know, when we spoke at the end of last season, we were so excited about Miami, right? Because we were really impressed by Bam. And obviously, you know, in the finals, they didn't maybe have Bam for a couple of games and that hurt them. But Miami, I don't think made the upgrades they potentially could have this summer. They've not changed. Really, this team is pretty much the same. And they've lost Jay Crowder. So it's not the same team. That, you know, it's arguably a diminished team a little bit from last season, and the East has gotten better, you know, with KD and Kyrie fit, with like you spoke about Washington Wizards being ready. They're an exciting team. Muzz, do you really think they're going to be a finalist this year? I am not betting on them, very honestly.
Krishnan, you're so right. I think Jay Crowder is one of my favorite players, mind you. Yeah. I just love watching him play. I know he's gone to Phoenix, so that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Because literally, you don't want him to be in the Pac Western Conference against you. Especially the Lakers will play them four times. So I don't know now with the 72 game season how it's going to work, how that's going to turn out. But the point is, he was a big player, a big player for them. Makes big shots. He's got a very good stroke. He spreads the floor. He's not only a three-point shooter. He drives to the hoop. He cuts in, makes those good attacking sort of offensive positionings that really spreads the floor. So, an all-round player on the offensive end. And they've lost him, which is a huge loss. And they've not replaced him, like you said. I do, though, think Bam has not even reached one-third of his ceiling.
That's fair.
So, the sky is the limit for Bam. So we don't know how good he can get and how quickly. I was actually pretty happy with his performance in the playoffs. I think the injury cost him. But again, Krishnan, can Dragic play at the level he was? Because I think Dragic was probably had the best season in his career last season with the Heat. So, yeah, I don't see them be... But again, yeah, I don't want to bet against Jimmy Butler. I if there's someone who can single-handedly carry a team through, it is Jimmy Butler. And Miami's a very strong defensive team still. Let's not forget that. And I still stand by that. Defense wins you championships. Can Brooklyn defend? They're going to be a high-octane offensive team. They're going to lack everything on the defensive end. So, I think in a playoff series, it could be very different. It could be a toss of a coin. But, Milwaukee, man. Milwaukee. Giannis is not going to let go twice. I don't think so.
No, I think so too. And we'll talk about, you know, talking about Milwaukee and then talking about Brooklyn. Dude, how excited are you to see KD and Kyrie? Dude, even just the like preseason games of watching them together, I forgot how fun it is to watch these two because we didn't see them basically all of last season. I mean, Kyrie we saw like at the start and then, you know, for a few games in the middle. But Kyrie, he just has the ball on a string, dude. It is so fun. And to watch him tie up with KD, it's looking so good. What is the ceiling, in your opinion, for this team? It's hard to tell. It's a new coach. It's two superstars coming in who... They are temperamental.
So Krishna, that actually brings me to a question that one of our viewers had shared.
Huh.
And they mentioned do we see Brooklyn being a 7 second offense team? Oh, basically suggesting whether will they follow the D'Antoni system of quick attack, quick offense, get a 3-point shot up, score, get back. Do you see that happening or do you not see that happening? Firstly, according to me, I don't see that happening because I think Kyrie is just a different sort of player. I think the amount of time he spends on the ball just pretty much eliminates all of that. He's not going to pass the ball to anyone. He's only pretty much going to pass the ball to KD.
Yeah.
He can only pass it if that person's absolutely open or if he has no chance of driving. That's the system that Kyrie will play. So I don't see them following that. But I know you are really excited about Brooklyn. I think KD is the best player in the league after LeBron James. So it's good to have him back, obviously. He looked very strong in preseason. Another thing I love about KD is he's very good on the defensive end. So I think in terms of that, yes, I'm excited, but I don't follow the Eastern Conference as much. So I'm going to leave that to you. So what's your take on Brooklyn?
No, that's a good point, Muzz. I mean, do I see that? You make a good point. I don't see them being as quick as, like, you know, Mike D'Antoni's Houston or, frankly, Mike D'Antoni's, you know, Phoenix of the 2000s. I can't imagine them being that quick because, like you said, Kyrie and KD are ball holders, right? They are guys who they hold the ball, they dribble. And I think that system typically works if you have you have one dude who can basically run it and then everyone kind of runs around them, which worked well with James Harden. Now, the argument is probably like, well, you know, with Houston, Mike D'Antoni also had Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is the fastest player in the NBA. Russell Westbrook is the fastest, like, if you need to break, there is no quicker player in the NBA to do it. Kyrie and KD are not slow, but they're just not at the same pace like a Russell Westbrook, right? And other than that, you know, they aren't guys who are like, it's one person and you just go, right? It's typically like they will probably alternate offenses. They will probably alternate responsibilities. And, you know, especially if DeAndre Jordan plays the five, DeAndre Jordan, I think in the Clippers, you know, in his Clippers days could have been a quick five who's running up and down the court. I don't think he's that five. I'm hoping they give more minutes to Jared Allen. But maybe because with his relationship with KD and Kyrie, they're playing more. So, overall answer being, do I see them being as quick? No, not as the, as you know, Mike D'Antoni's like famous Houston team and more famous Phoenix team. No. But do I still, you know, where do I, even with their system, I still see, like you said, Muzz, I am excited for them. I think they are a number one or number two seed in the East. Because when you watch, like you said, Muzz, KD, when he's playing offensively, is just, you can't stop him. He's too big. He's too tall. And when he has this shot where he's shooting from like 9 feet above your head, no one can stop it. It's just unbelievable, dude. I really think they're a number one or number two seed, in my opinion. And yeah, they, you know, Milwaukee, Miami, Boston, beware. This was not a threat last year, and they're a serious threat this year, and they'll be a fun team this year. They'll be fun to watch.
I just wonder what happened to Joe Harris.
Yeah.
In terms of like his scoring, will that hamper his performance and his play will be very interesting because literally he was like the central point for them with Kyrie also being out. He was the main scorer.
Yeah.
And suddenly to not have anything and to become like the third guy and the third guy who no one even mentions, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens to him. Which now brings me to another Eastern Conference team, Washington Wizards. Now, Russell Westbrook and the John Wall swap. So what's your take on Washington going forward? I know many people have discounted them. They don't see them making the playoffs, which is took me by a bit of surprise because I think if one thing Russ is good at is thriving in teams which lack stars or lacks the bigger names because then he carries that team. And there are some players who are just better when they're alone. And I feel Westbrook is one of those. So yeah, what's your take on that?
No, they're another team I'm excited for. These are probably back-to-back two of the teams I'm most excited for because they're just different from last year. They're teams that look very different than what they did last year. And like you said, Russ is an upgrade from John Wall only in the sense that John Wall just hasn't played. He's just not played for 2 years. And Russ is a... I don't think this makes them a title contender. I don't think this makes them a number one or two or three in the West. But I really do think it makes them a Western Conference team.
Yeah.
Russ is so good, he's going to take them to the Western Conference. I think it will be a playoff.
Bradley Beal would enjoy that, though. Bradley Beal would definitely enjoy
that.
He
probably would. No, I do see them being a playoff team. And more than anything, dude, it'll just be fun for them to have a fit point guard with Bradley Beal. Like, Bradley Beal has just been wasted in Washington. And maybe through no fault of their own, right? I mean, they didn't really expect this John Wall. Well, actually, when they signed him to that mass contract, they didn't know he'd be a serious injured. So, I guess they did kind of know he'd be out for at least a couple of seasons. But, Bradley Beal, I'm just excited to finally see Bradley Beal on a team that's competing for the playoffs again. He is so good. The dude was averaging, I think, 30 points a game last season. He's balling out. And now he has a guy who, touch wood, Russ Westbrook is a guy who's pretty durable, typically. I know he got injured a bit last year with Houston prior to the playoffs, but typically a pretty durable guy. Definitely brings a level of intensity that they as well said, the moment Russ walked in, there was a level of intensity. So, I think he's going to bring in that playoff standard. I think they are a playoff. They will be in the playoffs. How far in the playoffs they make it, I'm not too sure. But they're a playoff team and I'm excited to see it, dude. I'm just excited to see like Russell Westbrook going full pace. And he gets along with Brooks. They've worked together. And we'll talk about this later. But I mean, they have a couple of interesting young guys they signed. Like, I mean, Bertans is an interesting piece they have. They've signed an interesting interesting rookie. I'm blanking on their rookie.
Which actually brings me to my next question, Krishnan.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So, you mentioned the rookie they brought in, Danny Avdija, the Israeli guy from Maccabi Tel Aviv. Before we get into him, when the rookie name comes up, where everyone's only talking about one guy in the NBA draft for 2020, and it's not the first pick, it's not Anthony Edwards, it's LaMelo Ball. Lots of reasons, of course, he's got the Charlotte Hornets, so MJ is there, plus we all know what LaVar Ball said about the one-on-one against Michael Jordan. But LaMelo Ball is an overwhelming favorite for winning Rookie of the Year. I've watched his games. I love watching him play. Everyone's praising him, even including his teammates. They've all said that he's always happy. He's fun to play with. And his IQ is way, way higher than that of a 19-year-old, is what they've all said. So, firstly, do you think LaMelo Ball will be the guy who will win Rookie of the Year? Or do you think there's someone else out there who potentially will basically have a Kuzma type of season and come out of nowhere and be in the running for Rookie of the Year, right? So, do you see that happening? Or do you think it's going to be... Like, of course, apart from the bias that LaMelo already has in the race, do you see someone else suddenly coming out of the blue, just tearing it apart and really changing the league, like how Ja Morant and Luka Doncic have in these last few seasons?
No, what I want to say is, I mean, overall, no one came into this draft super excited, I will say, right? I think no one's expecting maybe a superstar like a Ja Morant. I mean, because let's think about it. Last season was a Zion Williamson coming into the draft. The season before that was Luka Doncic. I would argue the excitement was just... This was not considered to be one of the iconic draft classes, really speaking. It has good players, but probably not iconic players. And I will say I fall into that trap as well that you mentioned where I think LaMelo is likely favorite for Rookie of the Year because I've watched the most highlights of LaMelo Ball. Like, I am looking out to see how this guy is doing. Here are a couple of concerns, though, I have with LaMelo Ball. And it relates to his other big baller brand brother, Lonzo. Because I remember, I typically haven't watched summer camp every year. But I remember the first season Lonzo Ball came in. I watched the summer camp. And I remember, if I'm not mistaken, he won summer camp MVP. I remember watching him and I remember thinking, wow, this guy's really good. similar stuff to what I saw from Simpson from LaMelo. Really good passer and making just awesome passes. I mean, some of LaMelo's passes since he's been in the, the behind the back passes, you know, shooting it down the court and passing it to like guys way further, finding like cutters. He's looking really good passing wise. But I saw the same stuff from Lonzo, and somehow Lonzo hasn't converted to this dynamic offensive player I somehow thought it would be. Here's what's different about LaMelo. LaMelo looks a little more dynamic on the offensive end. He has a little, he seems to have a little more game. He's better at driving. He's got a little more confidence. It might be better almost that he's not in a big market. Obviously, he has the Michael Jordan pressure, but it might be better almost that he's not in a big market. He has a great, I think he has a great support system, a very supportive team right now, including Gordon Hayward, who I think is, you know, one of the better teammates for being a superstar.
Oh, by the way, Krishnan.
Yeah.
Gordon Hayward has a finger injury.
Right.
I'm just saying. Yeah. So, we don't know how long he's out again.
That is true.
So now MJ is probably thinking, man, what did I just do?
That's been MJ years. He's been the owner of this team. What am I doing?
I was drifting, but I thought that's very important to mention that.
No, that's a really good, and I feel like it would work both ways, right? It probably makes them a worse team for sure, but it probably ups LaMelo's usage a whole lot, right? He probably gets the ball even more. He seems to have a lot more game than his brother on the offensive end, what I will say. But I think he has a lot less defensive game. But for rookie of the year, that doesn't matter. Defense, though, no one cares about. For rookie of the year, no one gives a shit.
It's all about the highlights, baby.
Yeah. And I think the third thing is his shooting. So his shooting mechanics look, I'd say, definitely better than Lonzo when he came into the league. But there's still, it's not a perfect, there isn't a lot of jump to his shot. Like, he's a little bit of a low rider almost when he's shooting.
There's something off about it. It's not straight. Like, it's a bit to the right as well. So, it's kind of off. You're right. There's something wrong with the mechanics for LaMelo's shot as well. It's not the traditional the conventional shot. Yeah.
It's not looking perfect. And I think, in the summer, in the offseason, guys tend to look better because defenses are less focused. Can he continue that kind of three-point shooting in the regular season? I'm not as sure. I'm a little less confident. So, those are my concerns. Who are the challengers? Buzz, you might have a better idea. I don't know what you think. Who do you think are the guys who could challenge him for it? He wasn't number one pick, so there are at least two guys who people predicted to be better than him.
So, see, Anthony Edwards, I have no hopes for him.
Okay.
Because you come out and make a statement saying that, if I got into the NFL, I would have become an NFL player. Saying clearly that the NBA is a business for him, it doesn't excite him as much. So, I'm sorry, he just gives off the wrong vibes, and he's going to really realize how much he's going to regret saying that once he actually starts playing in the regular season up against the likes of, let's say, LeBron, or not even LeBron for that matter, let's say someone like a Towns, or since he's a shooting guard, then whoever, man, like, he's going to realize the level difference, and then he's going to get a reality check. So maybe that might change something in him, and it might actually bring out the things that he's capable of on the basketball court. Yeah. But I'm actually very excited about Isaac Okoro. He was drafted fifth by the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's a small forward. Great preseason. And I'm not only saying that, like you said, Krishnan, the preseason is something that you can't really go by at all. But what I've seen about Isaac Okoro is he seems ready in terms of his confidence. And I think that's very important for a rookie. And that's the one thing that I like about Kyle Kuzma. The guy's confident. That's what's kept him at the Lakers. He may not be the most talented or most skillful for sure in his age bracket or even in his class. But the one thing is he's not afraid of the shiny lights. More often than not, in clutch situations, has stood up for the Lakers. When the Lakers have needed scoring, when the big names have been out, he has performed. Not on a consistent basis, but at least for those big games or the moments when they've needed him, he's always stood up. I think Isaac Okoro is going to be that type of guy, but a better version as well.
And the Cavs need somebody.
And the Cavs really need somebody.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I think Isaac Okoro's in the perfect team. It gives him a chance to show his worth. And there's a lot of things that fit in well for him to really stand out and give a good shout for Rookie of the Year. As for the other names, I think Danny Avdija is a great, great player. I think we've not seen anything. I wonder how Washington will play him in the system, how many minutes he gets. But again, will he get enough time to become a Rookie of the Year candidate is another question. We know LaMelo is going to have the most minutes. He's going to be a starter. So I think that's the major difference. I think that's why Isaac Okoro has another advantage, because I see him starting for the Cavs. So, so I think for me, there's only one other name that I see challenging for Rookie of the Year at the moment. There are a few other names that you could mention, but I think that's something that we can only talk about maybe, let's say, before the All-Star break, which is not there this time. So, but basically, yeah, let's say maybe 30, 40 games in, then we can really have a good go and be like, you know, okay, these guys really stood out and they came from, like, whatever. I'll be amazed. But I see it. I see it being a LaMelo steamroll, really.
No, I feel that too. I mean, it is fun to watch him. I got to give him that. And I think with that, I think we're going to transition to a slightly... So these are some of the questions that we had. But we had a viewer, Ritvik, who really nicely, like really kindly, like offered us some questions that he had that we wanted to get to. Maz, I know we had at least a couple of them that were really, really good. That definitely got us thinking. So we figured this is a good opportunity to talk about them.
Yeah. So basically... the one question that really like caught me off guard, and I was like, wow, I didn't really think about that. And it was basically, so Giannis signed his Supermax, the most expensive contract ever in the NBA, right? So what his question was is that what do small market teams need to do to retain or to make sure that they retain the players that they scout and draft, basically, from the league. So let's take examples, right, of players who are still there with their team. So Karl Anthony Towns being one of them. Of course, Luka Doncic again has signed his max with the Mavericks. But I wouldn't call the Mavericks a small market team by any means, of course. But yeah, so basically, of course, Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, Ayton, both of them with the Phoenix Suns, right? So,
right.
So, that was his question. So what do you think do small market teams need to do to make sure that they manage to retain talent like this? So that was his question. You know, so firstly, Ritvik, great question. And you can see Krishan is already like kind of stumped.
No. And I really like it, because this has been an issue that has plagued, that has plagued probably small franchises through the history of the NBA, right? Like the teams like Indiana, it is hard to attract star talent. You have to keep the guys who you draft. That is the problem. The one thing I will say is, I actually think this has been the best time in the history of the NBA, the best time for small market teams, because players are starting to realize they want good management. And a good example of that is the New York Knicks have tried since they lost Carmelo, even before they lost Carmelo, they've tried to get the second major name to their city. And no one wants to join because they don't trust their management. So the two things small market teams have to do, one is you have to have good management. They're not going to go to Oklahoma and you had bad management. No player's going to join. And that's kind of understandable. The second thing is you have to be willing to go into the luxury tax. Right? That Giannis's whole concern with re-signing with Milwaukee was, listen, I want to re-sign. I'm happy to be in Milwaukee. I love being in Milwaukee. But you have to prove to me you're willing to spend the money. You have to prove to me you're willing to bring in other people, because I don't want to spend my whole career not winning a championship because you're not willing to spend. So number two thing is you have to be in the money. Number three is there is a little bit of, looking to go out and experiment and bring in new people, right? I mean, let's take a market, you have to be willing to convince your guys that we can bring something to you in the future. I think Golden State's a good example, right? Golden State is not historically a big market franchise. Oakland is not. California might be a great place to live, but Oakland was not a big market franchise. And Steph Curry, I'm pretty sure when he joined, was looking, was thinking of getting to the Knicks. And even like, I think a few years into his term with Golden State, he wanted to leave. the bar is higher, sadly, for small market teams. But if you're willing to take a chance, if you're willing to push financially to bring in people that your player can get excited for, things can work well. The bar will always be higher, right? You know, it's easier. You know, Brooklyn, you know, is a good example of that, right? Kyrie and KD are probably more likely to go to Brooklyn than, say, a team up in Oklahoma or like a Minnesota. But, you know, small market teams can make a difference if they have good management and you're willing to spend money. That's what it comes down to. I really think that's it.
Yeah, I think you pretty much covered everything. I don't think you left anything for me to add to that. And I genuinely think Indiana was a great name that you brought up, because even though they have no stars, they've been so consistent making the playoffs regularly, getting that money boost. Sadly, no one's attracted to Indiana. And I think that's on Paul George for leaving, firstly.
Yeah.
So had he stuck around, maybe they could have pulled in one more guy, and they could have genuinely been a title, at least an Eastern Conference champion contender if PG stuck around. But, well, obviously, that's well in the past. Which actually now brings me to the next question, Krishna.
Yeah.
Now, your predictions for the playoffs. Let's say, who do you think are those teams that many people aren't expecting to make the playoffs but will make the playoffs? And do you see any teams probably being being upset and being missing out on the playoffs this time?
That's a good question. You know, I think I want to talk about the West, because I feel like that could be the one which is always surprising. And I think what will make this season especially exciting is, like we said, since the playoff bracket essentially goes down to the 10th seed, right? So, you know, 9 and 10 will also be playing in a, you know, playoff game to make it to the playoffs.
Play-in game.
There we go. a play-in game to make it to the playoffs. So, you know, there is some excitement that garners automatically. You know, I'm going to start on a negative note and actually say a team that I think that's going to drop out. And I hate to say this because I really like them. In the West, I think Portland might not make it. I think they were a team who last year, you know, they scraped through in the end. You know, they had an awesome bubble. They really came in clutch. I love Dame Lillard. I really like Rob Covington on their team. But they're a team that I'm always so nervous about their consistency. And the West is just so unforgiving this year. I'd be surprised if they don't make the 10. I somehow don't trust them to make it through to the 8. I don't know what you think, Maz. This is one that I've like been taught about. And I hate saying it because I loved it.
I'd be happy if they aren't in the playoffs, to be honest. Because for a lot of reasons why I do agree with you is because Zach Collins is still not back. So I think that's... So the obviously the Blazers are being patient with him and don't want to trade him away because we all know his potential. But I think they've really lost... If Zach Collins does not come back and they don't find a good enough replacement at that center position or the... not center necessarily, but like the big man position, I think they are going to suffer and it will be difficult for them to make the playoffs. Yes, they've added Covington. So, great addition. But is that enough? I don't know. Because let's not forget, I mentioned this earlier as well, Golden State is back. Whatever you may say, there's no way you can ever count out Steph Curry. Just on his own, man. He that's just the level he plays at. Kelly Oubre has also been added. So, they're far from pushovers. They've had a decent preseason, I would say, in terms of at least understanding that, yeah, this team can work together. I'm not even saying that they'll beat the Suns necessarily, because Chris Paul probably just... I actually think Phoenix look really good. I definitely think Phoenix will make the playoffs this time. And yeah, I got to agree, Krishna. I think Portland will miss out. And if at all they do, then it's going to be Phoenix filling in for them. They've looked solid in the preseason. I must say, they already look better and more organized than they were in the bubble when they went on that 8-0 run as well, right? So it just speaks volumes about how much better they've become just because of the point guard. Gooey's favorite term for Chris Paul. So
point guard, man, he's made a huge difference. So that's my whole thing. There's too much pressure for those 8 spots in the West.
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree. I am interested though to see if where Denver finishes. I think Utah will definitely secure a top 4 spot. Dallas as well, I think, will definitely be in the running for these top 4 spots. Okay. First and second, I think, maybe a bit far-fetched. I think you were right. I think the two Los Angeles teams are way too strong. Of course, the Clippers have become worse and the Lakers have become stronger. But I still see, I mean, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, they both don't need to have a good game to win. It's just one of them that needs to have a good game to really win, at least in the regular season. So, yeah, West is fun for sure. But Krishnan, now the East is what I really want to talk about, because we know that the West is going to be a roller coaster of a ride, but the East has strengthened so many teams. We already spoke about Miami. We spoke about the Bucks. We spoke about, of course, the Brooklyn Nets, the Wizards. Indiana's always in the talks for at least making the playoff spots. But what about the other slots? So what do you see happening with that? Orlando's been becoming better and better. So what's your take on that?
Yeah, the East is the one, especially the bottom runs of the East, it gets a little confusing because they all kind of clump together. I predicted Orlando not making it next season at the start of the playoffs, you know, for last season. I do admit Orlando's like on the upward trajectory, but they're just not quick enough, right? It's just not quick enough. They've not done anything exciting in the offseason. I'm really rooting for Markelle Fultz, but his progression is slow. He could become better in time. I think Nikola Vucevic is on his way down. I don't see him being like the all-star he was 2 seasons back, if I'm not mistaken. So I think there is easy dropout. Who fills them in? I think the easy slot in is definitely the Wizards. I mean, we spoke about them a lot, so I won't talk about them too much because I think they're an easy slot in. The other team who we spoke about in our previous episode that I think could be challenging, I think can make the playoffs, is Atlanta. They have to make a huge step up from last year. Last year, they finished 14th in the East, which is horrendous, right? Like, they finished with 20 and 40. Their final results were like 20 and 47? That might be wrong.
Possible.
But, I forgot the
68 games, yeah.
Yeah, so 20 and 47, horrible season last year. They'll take a huge step up this season. So they're definitely going to be challenging, I think, for the playoffs this year. I think they're really the challenger. I mean, there's really so little to talk about the rest, right? Because you look at the Bulls, you look at the Knicks, you look at the Cavs. There just isn't a lot happening. Like, unless their rookies have ridiculously blow-up seasons, there's not much happening. The only other potentially exciting team is Charlotte. Again, if LaMelo goes off. The East at the bottom is really a... There is just a bit of a dearth of talent, don't you think?
That's what makes it fun, right? I'm actually looking forward to those matchups, because the one thing about the NBA is on the day, every game is good. And that's what really makes it fun. And now, given that it's only 72 games, you never know. I'm not saying that these teams will make the playoffs. I think Atlanta's a sure shot. I think Atlanta will finish somewhere 4th or 5th seed. They've just added the right pieces, according to me. Trey is going to get better. So all in all, I just think Atlanta will have a really... I think they can upset some teams there. I know it's going to be a tough ask to manage to knock off, obviously, the Bucks, the Nets and the Heat, especially. And the Celtics, you can never rule out. So I know I'm asking for a lot for the 4th and 5th, but you never know, man. It's a... Like I said, right? What if Trey has another crazy season? What if he becomes like this Steph Curry version of a player, right? You never know. And again, it's the Eastern Conference, so they play more of the worst teams than the better teams. So that's why true. I see that they can easily slot into, they can sneak through into that fourth spot, maybe, is what I'm trying to say.
And another team we spoke about a little bit, right? The Pacers. They probably outperformed what I expected last season, finishing fourth in the East, right? I mean, you know, Philly have gotten better as well. They finished fifth. They finished fifth, if I'm not mistaken. No, they finished sixth.
No, they finished sixth,
Sixth. So, I mean, I expect, you know, Indiana is also a potential dropout, right? I thought they were outperforming, and I think some part of it was because of how good Nate McMillan was. But now there is no Nate McMillan as the coach. They're going to be, they're going to have a new coach now, which I think is Toronto's assistant coach now moved there. But, you know, they could be a team that drop out because talent-wise, they don't have a whole lot. They have a great system. They play well together. They're one of those, like, all-in teams that it's all about distribution. Everyone gets, you know, on the day, any person can be the main scorer. But if Sabonis doesn't perform to the level he did last season and Oladipo, you know, is still injury-plagued or just doesn't return to his old form, they could be a team that falls out as well. I mean, they finished fourth, which I think seems very high for them, to be honest.
I think, Krishnan, we missed one team, though. And I agree, even I discounted them. Toronto, man. I obviously don't see them becoming championship material as well, but Nick Nurse, great coach. Siakam, I think, just I know he was one of those overrated players for me on that list, which you guys disagreed with, but I definitely see them performing well again and making the playoffs. So it's going to be very tough for the other teams looking in. There's a lot of teams fighting out. So then I think the play-ins will be very crucial here on the East. I feel like it's going to be harder to decide who's going to make it from the East than the West this time, is my take on it.
Yeah, that's true. Because especially I feel 9th and 10th could be, like, 8th, 9th, 10th could be really close. Because I think last year, like, none of us really, you know, thought much about Orlando, right? We didn't think they're too much, but it's, I mean, between Orlando from last season, if you think between Orlando, Wizards, and Hornets, it's not a huge gap between them, right? They're like, talent-wise, probably pretty similar. The one team I want to quickly also bring up, again, you know, kind of, you know, feeding off the bottom, the Detroit Pistons. They're, again, like a weird team. They've got Blake Griffin, and then now they've gotten Grant. Any chance you think they could be a playoff team? They're the only team that I feel like at least has a superstar, but Blake is not Blake of 2014 or 2012 or 2013.
I, like you said, Griffin's not the old Griffin, and there's no synergy in that team. There's no chemistry whatsoever. There's nothing there that excites me. I'm still getting more excited by other teams than Blake Griffin. So I think Detroit could actually be the worst team in the league, potentially. They could end up with the worst record. Okay, the Cavs maybe could fight them for that slot.
Yep.
But yeah, I definitely don't see them winning. It's going to be tough, man. I don't know how many games they'll win.
I know. So I think, so this is, I totally admit, I'm not too optimistic on them either. And they, I think, will be competing for the, like, some of the worst. And now, like, flipping the script a bit, so that's probably, talking about the bottom of the East is probably some of the worst teams in the NBA. Maybe the best team. So, Buzz, what are your finals predictions for this year? I think one conference is easier than another, but what are your finals predictions for next season?
Okay. So the Lakers, sure. There's no way. I mean, they won last year and they've just strengthened so much more this year. They've found the pieces fitting in. Talen Horton-Tucker looks really good to come off the bench already. I know it's preseason, so I don't want to buy too much into it. But he's silky smooth, man. He gets those and ones like there's no tomorrow. It's really good to watch. It's fun to watch him play. Let's not forget the Lakers didn't even have Caruso and KCP playing in their last two games. So they've not even got their best defenders yet, and they went 4-0 in preseason. Kuz loves to play in these games. he's again, he has the shooting knack with him. LeBron, AD looked good in the few minutes that they played. AD was very efficient, shot 75% in the first game against Phoenix. I don't remember his stats for today's game. But yeah, Lakers are going to 100% according to me. There's no match on the West, which basically means that there's pretty much no match on the East as well.
Yeah.
But you never know with Brooklyn. You're so right. I still wonder. I admit I am a bit biased towards the Bucks because of Giannis. So I'm going to say the Bucks to make it through. But if that happens, I don't see them standing a chance. So in terms of a matchup, I would like to see maybe Boston or maybe... I wouldn't even say Brooklyn really matches up to the Lakers. So I don't know, man. From the East, it doesn't... So, like I said, Krishna, I think from the East, maybe it's going to be Boston or Brooklyn. But I even though I want the Bucks to make it. But if the Bucks make it, then it's going to be a boring NBA Finals. So,
yeah, no, I was going to say, I think it'd be fun to see like Kyrie and KD going up against LeBron, like Kyrie against LeBron in a final would be kind of cool to see.
But I just think that there's no comparison, right? So you're going to compare KD and LeBron. And then if you're comparing Kyrie and AD, you know the stark difference there in terms of everything. And let's face it, the Lakers bench is fierce. You just look at their bench. In fact, their first five now, they're so much better than last year. You have Dennis Schroeder at point. You have Harrell slotting in now. You have KCP and then you have LeBron and Davis. So just that's a complete five. That's a dream five currently in the league. And then off the bench, you have some like absolutely important parts in Marc Gasol. Kuz is good off the bench. Caruso, man, he's the X factor. I think Caruso is right now. Caruso's stock is so high, Krishnan. I think any team would pick up Caruso if he was available. Any team. He could fit into literally any of the 30 teams in the league and make them much, much better. So I just think that Horton Tucker's looking so good and they needed a point guard who can create his own shot and at the same time spread the floor. He does both of those. So yes, I'm very excited for the Lakers.
I just don't see
how the East will match up, even Brooklyn, for that matter. That's why I think Boston will, Krishnan, because Boston has a deep bench. And yes, they lack a big man, an elite big man. Not necessarily even needs to be elite, but someone who can challenge or at least give AD somewhat of a handful. I only see that being in Dallas, and that's if Porzingis is fit, though. So.
No, and I will disagree slightly with you on your prediction for the East. Well, I actually think this year, which you'll probably be happy to hear, I actually think the Bucks will make it through. I think this is the year they kind of break the shackles. I'm hoping Bud like opens his eyes a little bit and kind of is willing to make more changes to his lineups and rotations in the playoffs. I think he will. He really needs to. He really needs to adapt to the playoffs. I think he will a bit more this season. And I think a big difference is going to be Jrue Holiday, right? I think that one of the bigger issues was in the past two seasons, Eric Bledsoe just didn't do it for them in the playoffs. Right? Eric Bledsoe was not someone who came up big for them in the playoffs. And I think Jrue Holiday is going to make a big difference on that front, right? He has a little bit of experience in the playoffs. He's an elite defensive player as a point guard. And he can be a scorer.
Krishnan, Eric Bledsoe had the season of his life defensively, at least. He was really good defensively.
Yeah.
But you're so right. There's no comparison. Yeah. Jrue Holiday is the better player.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, he was supposed to be like maybe third fiddle to that Milwaukee team after, you know, obviously Chris Middleton being number two. I feel like he became a fourth fiddle offensively. Like someone like a Lopez started to become more important than him. you know, even like a Pat Connaughton started to suddenly, you know, have more important and valuable minutes offensively than he did. So that's what I think Jrue Holiday kind of flips the switch for them and maybe gives them a little more composure as well with his experience to hopefully take them to the next step. And I think what's nice about this is, well, it's a little bit contingent on injuries, obviously, like, you know, Giannis staying fit the entire time. And I mean, Giannis is all in on this Milwaukee team. I mean, we've learned a little bit that, like, guys who sign max contracts, it doesn't really mean much because they could just get traded the next season. We've seen that with, like, John Wall, Russell Westbrook, looks like potentially James Harden, Chris Paul. So they can get moved, but Giannis seems, at least, to be really committed to this Milwaukee franchise. He is getting better and better each year. I can't help but think this is the year they finally break through. They don't just finish number one seed. They make it through to the NBA Finals.
And you're so right. I think it doesn't come down to their team or the roster. I think it comes down to management in their case. Yeah. The coaching staff. They played a very one-dimensional system and they've been highly criticized for it in both. I mean, it's happened twice now. So I hope it doesn't happen for a third time as well in the playoffs where they stick to their standard system and everyone knows how they are going to play because that's going to cost them. I don't want to bet on it because we've seen it twice now. And if you don't learn from your first season in the playoffs, then I'm sorry. I think you're too rigid in your mindset is what I feel.
I know. I am scared of this happening again, though, to be honest. I am worried. I'm hoping and I am betting on them. But there is a little bit of fear of like deja vu happening again.
Which actually brings me to the final question, Krishnan. We've actually really overcooked our time on this one. Always happens when we're discussing the NBA, right? And this was, again, a question that was put up by Ritwik. And since we've spoken about Giannis so much and his Supermax, I think it's a great question. So it's basically about who do you believe is the one player currently in the NBA that you see or you would like to build your future team around? Or let's say a championship team around.
No, I mean, for me, I've already gone on this Giannis praise fest, but I'm going to keep going on it. I think he is the guy. You know, I would argue, I know this is a tough thing to say, and he doesn't have the playoff record so far, but in the regular season, he has proven to be the best player in the NBA in the last two seasons. And he's doing it all. He can play point forward. He's an incredible defensive player, both guarding the rim as well as going out and defending guys on the perimeter. And this, I mean, what he does when he drives is just ridiculous, right? I mean, when he's driving, it's just impossible. He's like, when he's doing the Euro step, he's going from like one three-point line to the other three-point line, essentially. It's like a ridiculous. He's like a spider. So he is the all-in package for me, right? You just need to figure out, like, any player that you can get around him, he can adjust to do something slightly different to focus on that aspect of his game that's the best. The one thing that he needs to work on, obviously, is his shooting, which he's aware of, right? If he can become like more of a like mid-range shooter, perimeter shooter, that's the last piece. I mean, he has a like slightly, like it's tricky. He has games when he shoots really well. He has this like very army, very, very, you know, he has a tall man three-point motion, right? It's a lot of arms in his shot. But if he gets that, I mean he is all in. I just don't know. The Greek freak is everything you need.
So one thing, yeah, and you're so right, Krishnan. He's firstly just always seems to get better. So we really don't know what his limit is. I'm surprised that you didn't mention AD though, because NBA champion already. He is the most complete player in the league after maybe LeBron and KD, according to me. Because obviously, again, elite defensively, elite offensively. So what more do you want in a player? The one question is fitness with him. Luckily for the Lakers last season, he was fit for most of it. And the playoffs, he played every game. So that was a huge relief for them. But yeah, Giannis's durability is another plus point for him. But for me, I'm going to go a bit off the path and say Luka Doncic is my guy who I would like to build a team around. And the only reason I say that is he's a veteran in a rookie's body. And that's what is so scary about Luka Doncic. I see him becoming an all-time player, all-time great. He's already an all-star. He's going to be a perennial all-star, no doubt. His shooting is getting better. We've seen that progressively as well. In the playoffs, he shot much better. I think he's in the perfect team that can help him really establish superstardom. Even if Porzingis does not manage to stay fit and become that elite number two, they can find another third piece or who that will become the second piece, and then Porzingis moves us into the third piece role. But I see him winning multiple rings down the line, just because again he's a better version of Chris Paul in a lot of ways. And we've all seen how good Chris Paul can make a team. I just think that's the primary trait or characteristic I'm looking for in my franchise player. So I would definitely say Luka Doncic would be the guy I would like to build my team around.
No, and I love that much because one thing that I think he has over AD as well is he is the playmaker. He can make plays himself. AD a little bit, I think, has not learned to be the playmaker. So his best seasons have been when he has a good playmaker. When Rondo was at the Pelicans, was one of his best Pelicans. Obviously, with LeBron, he's been phenomenal, right? So that's one thing that he doesn't have. But Luka is that guy. And I want to just say a quick thing, and this is the awesome part about how NBA has grown globally. I mean, it's a league that's probably 60% American, maybe 60, see, maybe even 70% American. Two Indians talking about the NBA, predicting the two future stars being a Greek guy and a Slovenian guy. And it's just an awesome thing about how the NBA has grown globally. And it's awesome. It's just, it's great to see.
Yeah, man, I didn't think about that. And the NBA has done an incredible job in transcending the sport worldwide. And
yeah.
Looking forward to talking about some Indian dude once, yeah?
Maybe I know, day man. Comes soon.
Krishan, it's time to get your basketball shoes on. Try out for the Bulls.
I think so, man. They said they're looking for someone who's 5'6". They said they like guys. They need someone who's 5'6".
So yeah, it's been a while since an Earl Boykins, right? So
yeah. I'm trying to make it, man.
Oh, man. But yeah, always, Krishan, great fun talking to you about the NBA and basketball in general. We've really overcooked our time. I'm sure the amount of fun we had, I'm sure everyone listening in would have also enjoyed this episode. So thank you for tuning in, everyone. So this was all about the NBA, and we're looking forward to the season that kicks off on the 22nd. And we've made our predictions. So we think it's going to be the Lakers to win the championship. But we also have a different take on who's going to make it from the East. So please share your opinions on who you think is going to make the finals. Even if you think that the Lakers are not going to repeat, that would be a very interesting take. So we definitely want to hear from you on that. And thank you, everyone. And take care, and we'll see you soon.